Professor Shabir Mahdi joins us now, a very prominent person in the world of vaccines and immunology from the University of Witwatersrand and one of the signatories to an opinion piece by a range of scientists in this field saying time to bring the state of disaster to an end. Shabir, as always, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John. Thank you for having me.
You were quoted in one of the opinion pieces over the weekend as saying that this year you expect the number of COVID-related deaths to be lower than the sort of average number of seasonal flu deaths.
Well, I think we would probably be round about the number of seasonal flu deaths before COVID struck, which is roughly about 10 to 11,000. And we'll be substantially lower than the 58,000 people that will unfortunately die of tuberculosis in South Africa in 2022.
But the latest evidence suggests probably around 300,000 COVID deaths in these 2 years. So that's 150,000 a year on average, which is 7.5 times the annual seasonal flu rates. So we have needed to do, maybe we haven't done everything right, but we have needed to react in the last couple of years. But we need now to adopt a different approach.
Absolutely. And the reason we've ended up here, as you correctly pointed out, is that there's been a huge amount of infection that transpired in South Africa, despite the restrictions, which has come at a massive cost of life, close on to 300,000. But that has also resulted in the evolution of immunity and particularly protection against severe disease and death, largely because of the natural infection coupled with the rollout of vaccine. So the two things combined has put us onto a footing where it's unlikely that even if there is another wave and another variant, that we would see anything close to what we have experienced during the course of the first three waves in relation to hospitalization and death.
What then are reasonable restrictions on people's movement and people's behavior, if any, in a situation where you believe that the number of deaths from COVID in 2022 will be the number of seasonal flu deaths in 2019?
So the major issue is about vaccines again, irrespective of whether people have been previously infected or not, and we don't know 90% of the people that have been infected. So getting the vaccination rate, especially in the individuals above the age of 50, up to 90%, that should be our major goal. Beyond that, it's really about people taking precautions, especially when there's an increase in virus activity, and particularly people that are at risk of developing severe disease and death. They might still want to continue using the proper type of face mask, especially when in indoor spaces. But other than that, the reality is that much else of what we're doing was really geared towards trying to prevent infections, and we haven't been successful in preventing infections, or else we wouldn't have close to three quarters of the population having been infected during the course of the first wave before Omicron even arose. So we really need to recalibrate, and I've said this since last year at the same time probably, recalibrate how we think of COVID-19, and all the more so now where there's extensive amount of immunity that has evolved across the population despite it coming at a huge cost in terms of loss of life.
And those things, you know, around taking extra precautions if you're in a vulnerable bracket at a time when infections are on the increase, should that now be left to individuals to look after themselves, or does it in some way remain the responsibility of government to try and make those individuals behave in sensible ways?
Well, it's up to government to be advocating the correct policies, but it's always been left up to individuals to adhere and abide to those policies and those recommendations. And again, it really speaks to why we've had such large number of infections, in that sometimes government will decide on a particular route of action, but it's not implementable in our own context, and people simply don't adhere to it. So unfortunately, at the end of the day, it very much comes to individual behavior and adapting according to recommendations that might be coming forward from government and from other scientists.
Some people in an article on the state of the disaster and whether it should continue or not in a Sunday Times story yesterday were saying that yes, it must go, but don't get rid of it before you've put in place other mechanisms for allowing government to intervene should it become necessary in the future. So don't just scrap it like that, because what happens if another serious variant arrives and it's even more transmissible than Omicron, and unlike Omicron, is more likely to put you in hospital and put you in a coffin, that you need an overarching piece of legislation to allow government to respond to that? Or do you think that there are other ways of doing it without the state of disaster being necessary?
Yeah, certainly we need to have a contingency plan, and we need to have pandemic preparedness, which goes beyond COVID-19 and into the future. And that should have been existing in South Africa before we were faced with this pandemic, including ensuring resilience of our healthcare systems. But that's a separate discussion. The chances of this virus mutating to the extent that it's able to evade the type of immunity that protects against severe disease and death is extremely low. And in fact, if that happens, for all intents and purposes, we would be dealing with a pandemic on top of a pandemic, because we would be dealing with a completely different kind of animal than what we've experienced over the past 2 years. And the issue about waiting for things to take place before we actually implement what is required urgently, considering the detrimental impact that these regulations are having on South Africa broadly, including in our educational sector, I think that basically is almost self-defeating, in that we are not going to be facing, it's extremely unlikely that we're going to be facing such a variant anytime soon. There are other elements of the Disaster Act which can be incorporated, as an example, in the Social Assistance Act, including the monthly stipend of 350 individuals that are provided through the Disaster Act. But those issues, those sort of additional issues can be incorporated in other legislation that exists in the country. And we need to set the timeline at the end of the day. And that timeline should be a matter of weeks rather than a matter of a few more months.
Thank you very much to clinical infectious disease epidemiologist and vaccinologist, Professor Shabir Mahdi.